Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam wa ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad adada ma fi ilmillah salatan da'imatan bidawami mulkillah. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana yassir wa la tu'assir wa tammim bil khair wa bika nasta'in ya fattah. Rabbana zidna ilma. Allahumma ati anfusana taqwaha wa zakkiha. Anta khairu man zakkaha. Anta waliyuha wa maulaha. Amma ba'd. Continuing the topic, remedy of sins, tawbah, repentance. Set aside time for istighfar. Istighfar. How many and when? Someone wrote to Mawlana Thanwi, Rahmatullah alayhi, wa nawwara Allahu marqadahu, wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim, ameen. Although negligible time is spent on making istighfar, and it is very easy, yet I forget often. I forget often. And Fasa Isa, he meant to say that though a person can repeat the words Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh, or Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh, or just simply Astaghfirullah, he can recite it in a moment. Yet the person who wrote to Mawlana means to say that he forgets to recite them. Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi wrote an answer. In this case, make istighfar a certain number of predetermined times at a determined hour, so that you do not have to worry all the time about forgetting it. As it is, no hour is fixed to make istighfar, and no number is prescribed. A man may make it every time he commits a mistake. However, in peculiar case, like the one described, when a person does not remember, he must fix an hour at which he would make it for so many times. Like, for example, one tasbih. Visualize sins at the hour. Accordingly, when our elders, our akabir, instruct the seekers to practice a certain rota of religious repetitions, they prescribe one tasbih of istighfar. For example, Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanb wa atubu ilayh, wa astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh, wa astaghfirullah al-aliyy al-azim alladhi la ilaha illa hu. 100, one rota of this. It is advisable to fix a number of repetitions and the hour also when it would be done. It should not be a mere repetition of the lips, but one should visualize the wrongs one has committed, how many of them he remembers and how many he has forgotten. Ya Allah, I beg you to forgive me for all of them. A beautiful dua. The Nabi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to make a dua between Safa and Marwa. A dua between Safa and Marwa during Hajj or Umrah, between the two green pillars. And now it is between the two green lights. Two green lights. What is that dua? It is Rabbighfir warham wa'fu anna wa takarram wa tajawaz amma ta'lam in fa innaka ta'lam fa innaka ta'lamu ma la na'lam innaka antal a'azzul akram Rabbighfir warham wa'fu anna wa takarram wa tajawaz amma ta'lam fa innaka ta'lam ma la na'lam innaka antal a'azzul akram. O my Lord, forgive and have mercy and pardon us and have compassion. Overlook the faults of mine, of which you are aware. For indeed, you know that which we do not know. Indeed, you are the most mighty, most generous. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not specify the sins within a supplicant's knowledge, but he said, watajawaz amma ta'alam, overlook that which you are aware of. Forgive me for those which you are aware of. He also made it clear, فَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا لَا نَعْلَمُ, you know that which we do not know. So there are many sins of which we do not even have an idea. So that while they are being recorded against us, we are unaware of that. Hence make istighfar for every day. One tasbih, 100 times. So that inshallah, you will be protected from sin. And if you happen to commit any, Allah will forgive them. Begin with istighfar. The mashayikh, the sheikhs, prescribe different methods of making istighfar. Some instruct their disciples to begin their daily rota with istighfar. That's one way. Some instruct their disciples to begin their daily rota with istighfar so that they are purified before other religious exercises. They are purified. The glorification, the tasbih, the hamd, praise and sanctity of Allah are all lights. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. These are all anwar, nurs, lights. So before they receive these lights, they should purify themselves. And so some mashayikh recommend that before the person goes into his normal quota or rota of ibadat, he starts with istighfar 100 times to cleanse himself first. That's one method. Another method is to end with istighfar. Others instruct their disciples to make istighfar at the end of their round of recitals. Because the Quran says, "Kanu qalilan min al-layli ma yahjawun wa bil ashari hum yastaghfirun." Kanu qalilan min al-layli ma yahjawun wa bil ashari hum yastaghfirun. Surah Dhariyat. They used to sleep but little at night. And in the morning time, at the time of tahajjud, at the time of sahri, they would ask for forgiveness. So this is the second way. In this way, their shortcomings in their worship are also included in the istighfar. Though we engaged, as though they are saying, though we engage in worship at night, we could not do it as worthy of you. Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatika. When this is done, then the worship is perfected and deserving of divine approval. Anyway, both methods are taught by our elders, and one may choose either of them. When subordinates are wrong, we see in another of Maulana Thanvi saying, Rahmatullah alayh, it is not condemned to call one's students when they make a mistake, bewakuf, ahmak, stupid, fool, etc. It's not condemned to do that. So, it is not necessary to make istighfar for that, lest one seeks forgiveness in the presence of the entire class. Rather, sometimes it is contrary to wisdom. Sometimes it is contrary to wisdom, for it leads them to daring and boldness and bad manners. However, one must not exceed moderation while scolding or punishing. وَعَلَى هَذَا مُرِيدِينَ وَإِيَالَ وَقَدَمْ وَنَحْوِهِمْ مِنَ التَّابِعِينَ. Scolding students, those people who are engaged in teaching and care of students often have to scold them and may say sometimes they may have to say things, and sometimes they have to give them simply a beating. Obviously, this causes some hardship to fellow human beings, which is a sin, and this sin cannot be forgiven by making istighfar unless the affected person pardons. So do teachers have to ask students to pardon them? No need to do that. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi has made it clear that it is not necessary for teachers and such superiors to ask students to pardon them. Sometimes it might be harmful to ask them for pardon, for the naughty among students would take advantage of that and will become more daring and bold. This principle would apply in dealing with every subordinate who is under training, like a student, a disciple, a murid, a son. Why this principle? This is because when a person submits himself to training, it is implicit in his submission that his senior may scold the trainee and may even use the rod within permissible limits. However, beating should not exceed limits, for that is disallowed. If the teacher or the superior punishes within limits, then inshallah he will not be a call to count for that. So he should not ask his juniors to pardon him. Practice moderation. However, the teacher must be careful not to surpass moderation in the reprimand or reproof of his students. He must not blow his stop on them or scold more than necessary or give them an excess beating. But how to know what is moderate? Only a sheikh can guide him in this regard. So he must seek his guidance. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr's case, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, always reflect on the lives of the Sahaba. We go back to them. Once Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was beating his slave and scolding him. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him, he said, Siddiqeen walla'aneen kalla wa rabbil kaaba. Siddiqeen walla'aneen kalla wa rabbil kaaba. Siddiqeen and la'aneen, truthful and revival, truthful and reviler, the truthful ones and reviling ones, no, they cannot be together by the Lord of the Kaaba. Hadith, which is in Tirmizi, Musnad Ahmad. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu immediately made an atonement by setting the slave free. Subhanallah. When he heard the words of the Prophet, Siddiqeen walla'aneen kalla wa rabbil Kaaba. He made an atonement immediately by setting the slave free, and he also released some other slaves too with that. The case of Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyiduna Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu was reprimanding his slave and happened to speak disparaging words about his native land. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who heard it, said, innaka imra'un fika al-jahiliyyah. You are a man in which traces of jahiliyyah are still found. Thus it is necessary to practice moderation. It is therefore better to be careful and stop well before the limit. Only a sheikh can guide us in this regard. The case of even Maulana Thanwi, rahmatullahi. Maulana Thanwi, rahmatullahi, had a servant by the name of Niaz. I have also had the opportunity to meet him. He was a straightforward, pious man. Being the Maulana's personal servant, he was a little stiff, but he understood the Maulana very well. Sometimes he would become too friendly with the Maulana's visitors and disciples, and he would also scold some of them. Someone complained to the Maulana rahmatullah alayhi about this conduct. Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi felt bad about it, because visitors should not be treated in this way. He summoned Niaz and reprimanded him for his conduct. But Niaz exclaimed, Maulana, fear Allah and do not speak lies. Actually, he wanted to say that those who complain to him should fear Allah and not lie. Those who complain to him, they should fear Allah and not lie. That's what he wanted to say, but the words slipped out of his tongue. Imagine what one would say to his servant who tells him not to lie but to fear Allah. But the Maulana did nothing of the sort. He put his head down and uttered, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, and went away, listening to one side. When Niaz said, fear Allah, the Maulana realized that he had heard only one side. Just hearing that, fear Allah, he realized that he had heard only one side and should have got the explanation of Niaz before scolding him. He should have got his explanation. So he sought Allah's forgiveness for his mistake. Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. This is the example of those who stopped at Allah's limits. The case of Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This attribute was applied to even Sayyiduna Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu. Kana, it is said about him, Kana waqafan, he was one who used to stop. Inda hududillah, at Allah's limits. Kana waqafan inda hududillah. He was otherwise short-tempered, but when he was at Allah's limits, his temper cooled down. Once he found a conduit from a house directed within Masjidun Nabawi. He gave instructions that it should be removed, because if water poured from it, the mosque would get dirty. This anger was shown for the sake of Allah and His Messenger's mosque, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Sayyiduna Abbas radiallahu anhu learnt of that, he was displeased with Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu, because that house belonged to him. He disclosed to Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had himself permitted him to install the conduit, Umar said, radiallahu anhu, oh, had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam given this permission? He bent down, Umar bent down at the spot, and asked Sayyiduna Abbas radiallahu anhu to stand on his back, and reinstall the conduit where it had been, saying, how can Ibn Khattab, dear, break the conduit which was installed on the permission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So that conduit was replaced, and it is still there in Al-Masjid al-Nabawi, still there. Allah the Exalted had inspired the people of Turkish Khilafat, when the Khilafat went to the Turks, like to Abu Ayyub, Salahuddin, Sultan Fatih Muhammad, when the Khilafat was in the hands of the Turks. Allah the Exalted had inspired the people of Turkish Khilafat with such love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that though that house of Abbas no more stands there, nor is there any other ancient thing, yet the conduit finds itself at the same place, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given permission for it, and Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu had respected that permission. Reverting to Mawlana Tanwi rahmatul alayh, Allah had blessed him with the attribute described in these words, which was ascribed to Umar, kana waqafan inda hududillah, that he stopped at Allah's limits. Only company gets it. In conclusion, however, these things that we are speaking about are not acquired by reading books. Understand this. These things are not acquired by reading books. Rather, one has to exhaust himself completely. He has to make a lot of mujahada, a lot of effort, a lot of struggle with himself, with his nafs, with his carnal desires. One has to exhaust himself completely before one can achieve them. When a man frequents the recluse, the concor of a sheikh, and tires himself doing as the sheikh says, only then does Allah grant him this attribute. Only then does he recognize Allah's limits and conducts himself according to that. May Allah grant us this attribute and other good attributes. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh.